Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Kemmer, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we are going to take a look at MLW Fusion 151, but of course, first of all, the news. All right. This is like a major habit. MLW likes to do this, and I don't change my behavior to counteract this by any stretch of the imagination. I just wait for the news to get, you know, deathly cold and then announce it out. But right after the release of last week's episode, MLW actually put out some really big news that they are teaming up with Boss Fight Studios to release a line of action figures. So that is, if it comes to fruition, it is going to be bloody amazing, further expanding the reach MLW currently has with its fans. Court Bauer notes that this is something that fans have been demanding for a long time, so they're happy to be teaming with Boss Fight to bring the fans a realm of action figures and collectibles like they've been requesting for a handful of years now. At present time, no roster has been announced for the at least first wave of action figures, though we'll catch some spoilers here towards the end of the show. But what has been released is that there is a large catalog to be had, and that they're looking at a scale of 1/12 scale figures with accessories and even like full-on entertainment sets, as they refer to it, being planned out in the future. So, as I said, really big news, and excited to hear that, and just kind of wish that, you know, they maybe would have waited, or, well, either waited or announced this earlier, so, like, you know, this wasn't stealing my thunder like they do every time something goes on, because they love their Friday morning big news breaks, and I'm all like, hey, I want you to start your weekend off right. You should totally listen to this podcast Friday morning. So, eventually something may be, you know, have to give, and it'll probably be my back, because I'm getting old. Also, we are looking to add a new debut in the United States for MLW. This past week, MLW has announced they will be debuting in El Paso, Texas on August 27th. They will be presenting Fury Road, presented by Promocion 915-656, live from El Paso, Texas, Saturday, August 27th. This will be a Fusion TV taping that will be aired all over the world, of course. Court Bauer is, of course, especially excited about this, because Texas has been very good to MLW since its relaunch. And El Paso itself has a very rich wrestling history, noting the Guerreros and other luchadores. So if you're going to be in the El Paso area, you'll get yourself some tickets. It'll probably be a very good show. I don't see why it wouldn't be, but we will be waiting for match announcements coming up here in the upcoming weeks. And our last bit of news, and probably the most exciting for me personally, not that, you know, action figures aren't really big news, but Mance Warner is coming back to MLW. Things had looked pretty ugly between old Mancer and MLW, you know, a handful of years ago, but it looks like the Southern Psycho is coming back to the company. He will be taking part in the El Paso Fury Road show in the only way he can, featuring lariats, light beers, and eye pokes. So I really hope, you know, Mancer's staying for the long haul. He was always one of my favorites, pre-pandemic MLW, with his antics with the Moon Man, wrestling a beer and whatnot. So I'm really excited to see old Mancer back in the ring. Speaking of in-ring action, it is time for Fusion, episode 151, the last show of the current taping schedule. Next week, in theory, I assume we're going to kind of like start getting into the Battle Riot-based tapings, so we are looking forward to that. But in the meanwhile, 151 being headlined by the Strange Sangre, taking on Lince Dorado, Taya Valkyrie, and Microman. we open up the show with the new Samoan SWAT team, mostly Jacob Fatu, to start things off, selling things on the street. They all appear to be belongings pilfered from Cesar Duran's office. The highlight of this early part of it for me is one of the people in line are like, "Hey, do you take credit?" And Fatu's like, "Of course I do." Like, takes the guy's card and then just pockets it. Just doesn't hesitate. Just like, "Sure, I do." And just one fluid motion, card into the pocket. But the other members of the SST, Juicy Finau and Lance Anawai, show up and kind of are like, "Hey, you know, what's going on with this?" At least Lance is kind of apprehensive and Juicy's all for it because, well, let's face it, Juicy helped steal the stuff. They have a brief, like, home shopping network style ad featuring things, well, again, things from the office, a little luchador head, silver goblet, some chains, the bull of virility from Cesar's office, and all this kind of happens before Cesar shows up. He's upset, he threatens to get the cops, but the SST are like, "Hey, none of us want the cops here. We've got a past. You don't want the cops in your business as well. And let's not do that." And so, you know, Cesar just gets angry and is going to arrange a match. Well, he says next week, but it's actually going to happen here tonight. We get our intro, and we are welcomed to the show by Rich Bocchini and Joe Drombowski. Cesar Duran is going to have his luchadores out. He'll be here in a moment, but first we got to run down the card and get a recap of last week, most notably because last week we had a banger of a main event featuring the Weapons of Mass Destruction match between Mads Kruger and Jacob Fatu. Fatu winning the match and doing some severe damage to Kruger. Kruger has refused all medical attention and has disappeared from MLW, probably hiding in one of his Contra camps as he's, I don't know, doing whatever it is he does when he's not winning matches, I suppose. We also have the SST here tonight. They're showing up, getting pictures backstage. Cesar Duran finally comes out, knows that he's bringing with him the best luchadores from the barrio. Jacob Fatu interrupts them, brings out his family, the Samoan SWAT team, new version, of course. And we're going to have a match. Fatu is on commentary, so it's going to be a regular 2-on-2 tag team match between Lance Anawai and Juicy Finau, taking on two members of the Lucha henchmen, Azteca Underground guards, or whatever you want to call them. Things start out with Lance just basically taking everybody out with a big kick and then a Samoan drop. He tags in Juicy, and we get some tag team maneuvers in there, tandem offense, quick tags back and forth. We go to break, and when we come back, Cesar's like, no, we're going to change this up. We need more violence. It is now a no DQ match. The third member of the Lucha henchmen come in with a chair, and he's promptly beaten within an inch of his life. Samoan drops two of the guards at once, followed up by a Lance Anawai top rope splash for the win. This match was probably not as quick as it could have been, but it was just a fine introduction to the stylings of the new Samoan SWAT team. Do you think it's interesting that Cesar is just throwing nobodies out there at the Samoan SWAT team to start the party off instead of, like, getting some hired guns, since he's, you know, already made it known that he's willing to just bring in random mercs to try to take out his foes, especially Fatu, who he'd previously brought in Bestia Seis in to, you know, take out. But, you know, it is what it is, and furthering this story of the rivalry between Fatu and Duran. However, after the match, a wild Enzo appears with a bottle. We don't really know what it is because it just immediately gets smashed over Fatu's head. Enzo does some dry humping, or as the wife says, fastest dry humping in the West, and he takes off. So I guess this is revenge for possibly dinging up his car in the previous weeks, but, you know, it's already been announced that these two will be facing each other, so we got to set it up somehow, I suppose. And there we have it. Following the match, we're going to come down a bit, featuring Los Maximos, the Spanish announced team. They are MLW originals, and as such, they demand a tag team title shot. Once the SAT are done, we get the standard Killer Cross promo where, you know, MLW, TikTok. I assume this still means that Cross is on TikTok. Probably has a lot more followers than I do because he, you know, probably cares. Following this, we get a Richard Holiday promo in black and white. He talks about the clothes making the man, and on a rare occasion, the man making the clothes, and really talks about how the color red has changed his life, bringing new life into him. It is his new obsession. It's all really creepy as he kind of goes off on Hammer. This is, and of course, the big feud for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. And these two will finally, I don't know, maybe they'll come to a head. If not, I mean, they're still going to have a match anyway. But at Kings of Coliseum, July 14th, for the World Heavyweight Championship, Richard Holiday will finally meet ya boy, MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Alexander Hammerstone, one-on-one. Following this here creepy promo, we get some lighter news. We get a rehash of the news that I brought out at the start of the show about the new partnership between MLW and Boss Fight Studios regarding action figures and whatnot. And they kind of intersperse clips of MLW action with some concept art, or at least sketches, for the new action figures. Looks like each figure may have multiple heads with, you know, various facial expressions, but most notably we do get to see Jacob Fatu and your boy Alexander Hammerstone amongst the concept art pieces. All right, it is time to take a brief pause for the cause. Get your energy drinks, figure out how to make yourself a podcast. I'm gonna go I don't know, play with action figures and get a drink or something. In the meanwhile, I'll be back. Un momento.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back with a medical update on Jacob Fatu. He had a pretty nasty laceration from the attack from Enzo Amore. He did have to get staples, and he's currently in the concussion protocol. More news hopefully to come here within the next day or two. Backstage, we get a brief segment with Davey Richards and Myron Reed, who are all buddy-buddy. Davey's congratulating Myron on his recent victories. Myron puts over the training with the Team Ambition squad, and Davey just kind of, like, nonchalantly, makes a soft challenge for a match in the near future against Myron, you know, stone sharpening stone or iron or, you know, baguettes, you know, whatever you sharpen by banging against each other. I think it's baguettes. That's what we're gonna go with. But anyway, never mind that. Richards, you know, wants Reed to think about it, and we move along. Next week, we are officially getting the Thrilla in Filla, the Alex Kane 20-minute open challenge. If you can last 20 minutes with the National Openweight Champion, you're going to get yourself $20,000. Win, lose, or draw, you got to at least make the 20-minute mark to get the money, though. Though, ironically, like, if you're going to win, you might as well just, I don't know, take the title, because that might get you more money in the long run, you know. But, yeah, whatever. I guess if you're good enough, just string him along for 20 minutes and then get the victory there. All right, it is time for our main event of the evening. It is the Strange Sangre, Holodead, Ares, and Mini Abismo Negro being brought to the ring by the Doctor of Jobology, Dr. Dax, and Gangrel, taking on the makeshift team of Lince Dorado, Taya Valkyrie, and Microman. Microman has been a thorn in the Sangre's side pretty much since he showed up, most notably, like, pretty much defeating mini Abismo Negro, and occasionally Ares in various trios matches. And so to combat this, Cesar Duran is like, let's have another trios match, especially if Lindsay and Taya want to get involved as well. Of course, Taya Valkyrie and Holodead have history because, well, you know, a couple weeks ago, Taya beat Holodead to become the inaugural MLW featherweight champion. The bell barely rings. Things just break down really fast. It's just already people like teeing off against each other, double teaming Microman. But we finally get some decorum, and it's Taya taking on Holodead to start things off. We get some back and forth action before Taya takes Holodead out with a spear. We go to break, and Ares and Lince Dorado in. Like, we got some good lucha things before Ares takes over and tags in Abismo Negro. Microman is forced in via tag. Lucha rules, by the way, so if you break the plane of the ring, that's a tag, and he's the only one left, so he gets to come back in and gets killed promptly. Just, it's not just kicked right out of him, but Lince Dorado comes in for a brief comeback with cutters out of nowhere. Microman also comes back in and gets his revenge before Holodead comes in and dinks him. He gets chased out of the ring and around the ring itself by the Strange Sangre, dives underneath the ring a la Hornswoggle. When the Sangre kind of get under the ring to start pulling him out, they reveal a Blue Meanie who is shocked, appalled, and only knows one recourse, and that is punching things. I'm not sure why the Microman team didn't get disqualified for this, but whatever, it's Blue Meanie, I'm going to allow it, because I love me the Blue Meanie. Anywho, so this isn't a DQ. We're going to go to the break again because the combination of YouTube and MLW itself wants me to watch all the commercials in the world. But we come back and Lince hits a trio of moonsaults, one per turnbuckle, before Taya and Holodead take to brawling because there's a distraction in there. They are fighting up the entranceway with the distraction and all the chaos that's ensuing there. Microman gets a modified victory roll on Abismo Negro to get the 1-2-3. The winners of the match, Taya Valkyrie, Lince Dorado, and Microman. Things look hairy after the match here. For Microman, and we'll kind of, I don't know, break it down here maybe in a minute, but we are looking at a 4-on-1 beatdown by the Strange Sangre on Microman when all of a sudden Enter Sandman plays. And for those who aren't up on your wrestling history, maybe my younger listeners, this is, they're in Philadelphia and Enter Sandman plays, and this is the hearkening to the one, the only Sandman, the beer swinging, cigarette smoking, Singapore caning, Philadelphia favorite from Extreme Championship Wrestling back in the day. He slowly makes his way into the ring. In the meanwhile, Microman could be getting killed. We don't know. Gangrel has a scythe, for crying out loud. But he's, doing his entrance, walking around the crowd, dumping beer on people. And eventually he makes his way into the ring and saves Microman. Microman gets his own mini Singapore cane, gets some shots in as well to help defend himself. Sandman gives Microman a mini brew, a micro brew, if you will. No. Microman is not having it. Demands a full-size can, and that's what we get to end the show, sending the crowd home happy. All right, so the main event itself, a lot of fun, and of course, like a lot of like lucha-based stuff, my review doesn't always give it, do it justice, because just all the chaos that ensued, it was just all bang, bang, bang. There really wasn't any downtime whatsoever, which I do appreciate in matches such as this. Though, as much as I like seeing the Sandman come in, like, if he was really there to save Microman, that was going to be a terrible job at that, because it took him like 5 minutes to get to the ring. And if anybody was serious about cutting up Microman, then they probably would have just done it. But yeah, so despite how fun the main event was, this was really like, that was like the entire point of the show. And the show was really only like half the time of a normal show as well, when you throw in the quasi squash. That was the SST versus the Lucha Henchmen. It really just was this one man or one note Trio's main event for the entire show. So on that front, it kind of makes things not quite as, interesting as things could be. But I also think we're at the very end of the taping cycle, as I've said earlier. So, I mean, there's, the way things are taped as one big live event rather than taped specifically for TV can lead to some issues on that front and, creative use of backstage sketches and whatnot as well. So, again, overall things were, top-notch is just half of the usual material for your MLW buck there. But either way, again, for that one half hour, it was an incredibly solid time period. Again, worth it alone just for the main event. Anywho, rattling on incoherently worse than usual, it means it's a, darn good time to, wind down this here show. I appreciate you all sticking along for it as I throw in baguettes randomly, and note that the Sandman shouldn't be saving anyone because he takes his sweet time coming to the ring, but I appreciate it. Thank you all. Stay tuned for the plugs and the best ways you can support this here tiny little podcast, and in the meanwhile, I will see you all next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted at Anchor FM. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review would also be helpful. Word-of-mouth advertisement, of course, is very important for us small podcasts. For my social media links, they can be found in the description below, but the Twitter and Instagram are both at The Nova of Cass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual chip jar at www.kofi.com/Cassanova. That is CassOnova. If you'd prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Cassanova. Where for as little as $1, backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So head up the crew and join Maverick45, Alan Schroeder, and Keith Wynn, and check it out. You can also find t-shirts at whatamaneuver.net/collections/theconfusionpodcast. There's hyphens in between the Confusion Podcast, of course. And for other business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email me at rzkammer, K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.